Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of The Bleacher Bums.
The Bleacher Bums.
I am your host, Jim Cromer, and my co-host, Jono, is to my right. It is a great day for baseball, as it always is throughout the land. And just, you know, enjoying everything baseball here on the show. Had a great show last week for you. And,
love that show.
Yeah, appreciate all the comments. Benji, what a great perspective from a pro guy talking baseball. Finding out
baseball,
Mickey and the Duke. Wasn't that the words?
Oh, that was good.
It was good stuff.
Man.
But no, I you know, it
they
was
all
great
left
to hear.
Us.
It was great to hear from a guy that's been through it. As we as fans, absolutely, you know, we sit there on opening day, and most of us have had quite a few cocktails, and we wonder sometimes.
Oh, quite a few.
Quite a few. Yeah. What are they thinking while we're doing this? But you know, to be.
By the way, you know what that reminded me
what's
of?
What's that?
That Peter Puma you used to do. Come on, give up Peter Puma.
I'm the little feller's mother.
I think he'd say.
How many lumps you want?
Oh, three or four.
Oh, three or four. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
All right,
man.
Now that I've done my daily impression for you.
Well, you're in the bleachers.
Yeah,
no one even cares you're out here.
Yeah, no,
you
I
can
hear
do
you.
Stuff like that. It gets hot out here. The sun's beating down on us. Beer.
Yeah, I hear you.
Beer's great.
And it was great. And I actually got to go to a day game yesterday, which is, you know, my absolute favorite thing in the whole world to do.
Don't tell them where you sat. You'll disgrace every bleacher out fan.
Yeah,
out there.
Well, yeah, I wasn't in the bleachers. You know what? The truth is, I belong in the bleachers for sure. But yesterday, a good friend of ours obviously gave me his green seats, which people here in St. Louis.
Green seats.
Are.
You got the green seats.
Yeah, those are the tickets that I have no business sitting in. They're right behind home plate, and the people just bring and bring and bring, right? So it's just great
and they're,
stuff.
They're so happy to bring.
Oh, I know. There they are. They are so happy to bring you stuff. And, you know, it was just a great day. But it is. Same thing as being in the bleachers. You're in the sun. You know, plus it's been cold, right? Now it's the first day it's nice. You're out there.
It's not
beautiful.
The same, dude.
No, you're right.
It's not. That because
you're, right.
The
you're not taking your shirt off there, that's for sure. Right?
And the green people, they're so sophisticated people, you know. And the bleacher guys are just, hey, let's just hang out. Let's have a beer.
You're right.
I mean, you're afraid to say what you want or order what the hell you want either.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But that's the beautiful thing about baseball. And for me, and that's why I was so, you know, so thankful that our friend gave me those tickets. I love a day game. And like I said, in the Midwest, it's been cold. People are playing baseball. And it just so happened that yesterday was the first day it was over 70 degrees. I'm out there in my shorts. That's what baseball is to me. But I'm going to ask you a question, my friend. When you hear April 15th, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
That's when Denny's opened up till 2 a.m.
Well, I know that's high on your priority list.
That's very high, Jim.
Most people, when I say April 15th, they think about taxes, okay?
Yeah, now, yeah damn taxes, those taxes.
Damn taxes. But if you're a true baseball historian and I say April 15th, you would look at me and say, are you talking about 1947? And I would say, of course I'm talking about 1947.
I wouldn't say that, no,
well, and that would be Jackie Robinson, the day he broke the color barrier. And today we celebrate Jackie Robinson.
All is everyone wearing 47?
Yeah, 42.
42?
I love this.
Why?
I don't know
who the hell I'm betting on anymore.
Well, seriously, do you not love this, that they pay tribute to this by everybody wearing 42 today?
Well, you know what? Why didn't they wear Satchel Paige's number?
Well, he was the first.
Satchel Paige was the first.
Jackie Robinson was the first.
Well, I mean in the Negro League.
Well, there
was Satchel Paige.
There were a lot of players in the Negro Leagues.
I
mean,
I don't know.
You know, I mean, he was a great player. He got a chance to play in the majors, of course. But Jackie Robinson, Branch Rickey, they broke the color barrier. It was a great day in history. It was a great day for Major League Baseball, as baseball kind of, you know, through the years has been able to bring it together and it not be such an issue. And the reality of it is, I think it's a great thing that they do every year. The players that come out and pay tribute to Jackie Robinson, you can tell they truly are humbled to wear this number. I think it's great. I don't know. You got any thoughts on it?
Everyone wears 42.
Everyone wears 42.
You can make an error.
You can make an error.
You can make an error out there, and it's going to be number 42.
Well, error number 42.
The whole team gets a error.
I don't think Jackie made too many errors.
That's what I'm saying. You could get yourself an error. You don't care that day.
All right, okay.
Because on the box,
Bakshi is going to say you hit number 42.
Hey, if you hit four dingers, does it not count towards your career?
Number 42,
number
got
42.
It. Number 42, enjoy it. You got four dingers that day.
Hey, speaking of mistakes, okay?
You
speaking
get of a mistakes, lot of those.
Speaking of mistakes, Captain Obvious has spoke up, and one of Pablo Sandoval's ex-trainers has let us all know that he has an eating problem.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm shocked by this. How about
you? Well, you should have an eating problem sitting at the green seats yesterday.
Yeah, well, I should
mean,
have.
They,
right,
there
yeah.
was a lot of food that could have been absorbed yesterday.
And
they don't mind. They just keep coming at you with a beautiful grin on their face. They're good-looking people. They come up to you. Would you like to have another double cheeseburger? Maybe triple this time? Of course.
In true bleacher bum fashion, though, one of the guys that I was with, you know what he asked for and he couldn't get? A Philly cheesesteak. And you know the only place you can get one at Busch Stadium? In the bleachers.
Really?
Yeah, the Philly cheesesteak. You got to go to the bleachers.
Well, next time this big guy that gives you the tickets, you say, I'm going to give them to Jono, and I'll go back to the bleachers where I belong.
I will go back to the bleachers where I belong. But anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting that Pablo Sandoval had an eating problem.
Nah, I mean, it's damn obvious. The guy likes to eat. I can't blame him. I like to eat late night when you're kicking back. You got Papa John commercial coming on the ESPN or MLB station. Boom. What are you going to do? You're going to get a little hungry.
Hey, I got to be honest. You
I hope you're honest with me, Jim.
A lot of food. You know, Denny's. You know, you got your Papa John's. You're hungry, right? You're hungry.
I'm a little hungry.
Well, here, next in the news. Bryce Harper hits 100 home runs at a young age.
And how much of a beautiful timing was that? That guy is like a Superman. I'm telling you, a grand slam for your 100th home run? He's made a deal with the devil.
Well, he has made a deal with the devil, but I don't know that it has anything to do with hitting home runs, but what a mammoth shot.
Dude, he's a beautiful-looking specimen.
Well, for
I love the guy.
For interesting, I
always say if I was a ball player, I'd want to look like him.
Well,
he takes that hat off. He has his partners take that hat off. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's a show, and he wants it to be a show, right? We want to have more fun in baseball. I actually agree with him.
I agree with you.
I agree with him. I'm ready to have more fun with baseball. So I started thinking, what about the guys, you know, he's like the eighth youngest, right? So who are the guys that were younger than him that hit all these 100 home runs, right? So I'm thinking, okay, well, who's the guys that have hit the most? Some of the names not on here that you would think.
Well, why not let me guess the youngest of the eight?
Let's see if you can guess the youngest player to get to 100 home runs.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet a lunch. Five lunches to one lunch, you can't get the youngest.
Just the age.
Well, you're not going to get
the
age. You got a better chance of getting the name. You got a better chance of guessing who is the youngest player to get to 100 home runs than you do the age, because the age is going to be age in days.
Where is that damn Cooper? I need him.
Where is he when you need him?
JC, where are you?
Where
go
are
in
you?
My head now, JC. Tell me what you're
okay,
thinking.
Give me a name. You
hold on.
5 seconds.
I'll give it five seconds.
Who's the youngest?
Wait, can you give me a little hint? Was it in the black and white days?
Yes.
Okay, that's a big hint that I'm going to really absorb on this.
5 seconds.
I'm going to say Joe DiMaggio.
Wrong. Not bad. Mel Ott.
God, that's the one that did the baseball show.
And here's where I'm getting at.
This 22, Mel Ott.
That's 22 years, 132 days, whereas Bryce Harper was 23 years and 181 days. So
I thought you were going to say like 5-6 days difference or something like that.
No. It was almost a full year, if you can believe it. Now, check out some of the names on this list, okay? I thought it was great. Eddie Matthews.
Wasn't there a Tony Sangiuliano?
Well,
I want
to get to him. I'm going to get to him in a minute.
He was up there.
Eddie Matthews is on the list.
That's what rings a bell, because he's an Italian guy. I can't forget
him. Eddie Matthews on the list, 500 home run club. Right?
500.
Yeah, the guy hit 500. A-Rod's on the list. I mean, he may hit 750.
Hey, the guy's still good.
Right?
Guy's still producing.
Here's some interesting names on the list. Still going, obviously, besides A-Rod. Miguel Cabrera's over 400 home runs. Now, Andrew Jones is on this list. Okay?
I could see that.
Okay, he just retired not too long ago. How many home runs do you think Andrew Jones hit in his career?
I'm going to say 382.
Well, not too bad. 434. Now, I will tell you, something happened to Andrew Jones because he was flying until he signed that free agent contract with the Dodgers. And then the last 5 years, he just didn't do much.
Oh, where are we going with this, Jim?
I don't know.
I'm asking a question.
I don't know. Just asking a question.
All right.
Now, here. I'm going to get – I got two –
juicy,
now, hang
juicy.
On. I got two interesting names on the list. Now, that for different reasons. One is affectionate to your heart. Your man, Johnny Bench, is on this list.
Ah, oh, God bless him. So I don't like how he treats Pete Rose, but right. I love him.
Okay.
I love him. I still love
now,
him.
Now, how many home runs did Johnny Bench hit in his career?
I would say in the 300s. He did not reach 400. I'm going to say 365.
Pretty close. 389. Now, interesting.
Damn it. I just asked 382. Why can't I just repeat that?
So he obviously had 100 home runs before he was 24 and only hit 389. Do you think that's the wear and tear of catching?
Definitely catching. Okay. You heard it from Benji last
week.
No, I mean, Jesus Christ, these guys are taking foul balls left and right.
Okay, now, you brought up, to me, the most interesting
name.
And
they could slide into the catcher back then.
Now you brought up the most interesting name. Oh, Tony Conigliaro. Okay, I want to tell you. Now,
wait a minute, you got him pulled up?
Yes, and let me tell you why.
That's
Here's what I love about the game of baseball. Okay, this is what I love. When this happened, and I did some research, I think that no matter how much you love it and how much you follow it, there's always something to learn, right? Let me tell you about this guy.
I remember.
Let me tell you a little bit about him.
All right, go ahead.
All right. This guy, okay, signed by the Red Sox at the age of 17. He then went promptly to the New York Penn League, hit 366 and hit 24 home runs as an 18-year-old, okay?
That's swinging that
bat. All right,
bat.
You ready for this? His rookie season is in 1964. He hits 290 with 24 home runs in 111 games. Breaks his arm and his toes in August. In his first at bat in Fenway Park, he hits a towering home run. So this guy is a young up and coming guy, right?
How far were the walls back then?
Well, I think Fenway Park's always been the same.
No, I know that, but other
parks.
Well,
they in that time they were starting to build bigger parks. So I mean, that's where I'm going with this. Okay, so listen, this guy hits all these home runs, right? Before he's 24 years old, okay? August 18th, 1967, playing the Angels at Fenway Park against Jack Hamilton. He's hit in the face, carried off the field.
Well, he's down for the day.
How about this, though? Never the same, right?
Yeah.
He does come back and have a few good years, but was never, I mean, but had to retire because of vision problems. What might this guy have? This guy could have been an everyday name.
A la Stanton. I think since he's been hit like that, I don't think he's been at his – I know he's starting to come around, but you know what, man? That getting hit in the face on a 96-mile-an-hour pitch, and then when we talked to our GM for Miami, he said a tooth was sticking out of the skin.
Yeah, you can only imagine.
I mean, man, that's a lot of psychological stuff on you, man.
But I just thought it was – what a great story. This guy, obviously – I've never even heard of him, and that's what I thought was interesting, is that if this guy doesn't get hit in the face, he may be in that club where you're talking about these guys that have hit just – plus he played in Fenway. I mean, God, you feel
sorry. Well, then what are you saying? These guys are all cursed and now Harper's going to be cursed?
No, not at all. But I just found it interesting that no Barry Bonds, you know, no Mark McGwire, no – you know, some of these guys that have hit all these home runs.
Yeah, but same could be said. All right, same could be said when Tiger Woods was getting all those Masters and stuff like that in golf, too. And then he just hit a wall, too.
Yeah, no, 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 no problem.
We cannot expect these guys to keep going on a consistent basis. A lot of wear and tear on the body, a lot of adaption on the pitcher and all. I guarantee you, if I talk to Coop whenever he comes in here, he could bring something up about it.
No, and I agree. I actually was going the other way. What I was most impressed with is that some of these guys that have hit a ton of home runs, they didn't hit them in that large bunch and then kind of taper off. Look at Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron's not on this list. He was consistent over a 20-year period. Albert Pujols, consistent. Barry Bonds. Well, we know what happened later on, but God, he hit a lot of home runs to not be in this club, right, at such a young age. Just, I don't know. I just think when new things happen in baseball and guys break records, it kind of sheds some light on things that have gone on in the past. So for me, I just thought it was great. But that's kind of some insight of a couple of interesting topics that I had going on. But, you know, good stuff.
A lot of interesting stuff out there. And I'll tell you another interesting thing is our big show on lineupmediagroup.com.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, we got all sorts of different shows out there. A lot of great stuff that, hey, a lot of our people would be interested in. It's not just one show out there. We've got it all out there.
We got Hockey Show, Chasing Pucks with Panger. We got Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean
Wheeler. I love that show.
Yeah, it's a good show. You got a great show on there too, though. Ocho Man Behind the Eight Ball. You guys are hysterical.
Yeah, but you
attack
what,
all the different stuff. Yeah, but we're potty mouth people.
I know.
I really get with the bleacher bums out
there. Yes, you do.
On that show.
But I think the point we're making here is that depending on what your flavor is, we have entertainment at the Lineup Media Group for everybody. But check it out, lineupmediagroup.com. I think you guys would be impressed. And of course, we're looking for you to follow us. We are on Twitter all the time at Bums Podcast. Check out our website, bleacherbumspodcast.com. We're really starting to use it a little more as the show.
I'm hearing so many emails.
Yeah, third episode.
So many emails coming in, and we appreciate it. Everyone's talking about the show.
You know what everybody's talking about, don't you?
I'd like to know, Jim.
There's a lot of people out there right now talking about these Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You're not going to believe this.
What's
man.
That?
I talked to this guy, and man, he just gave me this winner. He brought up the Baltimore Orioles
for tonight
losing.
Oh, tonight they're going
to
lose.
No, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Against Texas.
Well, they got to lose sometime. They're not going to go 162.
I know, man. But this guy calculated this a week ago before they were winning all these games.
Sure.
I mean, that's something right there.
Yeah.
He calculated that game.
Yeah.
With a big circle on it.
Big circle on it. Well. Can't win them all, but impressive start, 7-2. Obviously, that in the past has always been a tough division, but at 7-2, they're kind of sitting on top, obviously. I think in that division, the team that you would have to look at, the Toronto Blue Jays.
I'm always scared to play them.
Yeah, but it's only 10
always,
games.
Donaldson's a beast.
He is a beast.
He's a beast, man. I tell you what, if you want a couple guys in your corner, there it is, Harper and Donaldson. Tough, badass-looking Western type of cowboys.
What's Donaldson got going for him, though, that the other guys don't have? If you don't want to pitch to him, you want to pitch to Batista?
Who would Harper be in the Western days? He would be Doc Holliday.
He would be Doc Holliday. So would that mean that Trout would be Wyatt Earp?
Yeah.
Good guy.
Well, no, he's the crazy guy. He's like the...
Trout's crazy?
I mean, he'll take himself right into a wall. He's always
that's
at that.
That's Wyatt Earp. I'd go with that. But but also good, you know, not shake it up too
much. I don't think he's the thinker as much as...
All right, I'll give you that. You're dead on with Doc Holliday, though, for
Doc
sure.
Doc Holliday for Harper. I just thought of him.
But I thought that was an interesting division. If you go out west, though, I mean...
So you're saying Toronto is the only other team?
Well, they're 5-5.
I think everybody's picking them to win the World Series.
I'm not counting them out. No, for
don't
sure.
Don't be counting out any other two teams from that division as well.
No, I'm looking at
the Yanks and the Sox. They're not... No slouch, man. They ruled that division.
And I'm just kind of looking at the standings of some of the records through 10 games that got me thinking. I mean, you go out west. The Angels are leading the West, but only at 5-4, and they haven't looked good.
No, they're coming around, though, Jim, because the last week when we did our thing, I talked about them as they can't hit the ball. Now they've taken it. I mean, they're picking it up a bit, and they're making it happen.
The two teams that I liked in the West, and I for sure called Seattle, has not looked good.
Their pitching's just horrible. I got a couple of their pitchers in my lineup for my fantasy team, and I'm telling you right now, these guys are having a struggle out there.
Well, you know, and that's the way we kind of almost relate anymore. You kind of pay attention to how – they'll tell you how the team's doing. And to your point, yes, the pitching's been bad. Houston is the surprise there, though, at 3-7. Did you have them starting out at 3-7?
No. You know what, though? I don't expect them to be an under 500 team.
Yeah.
These guys will definitely pick it up. You may say you got Zenyatta here starting – really slow out of the gate, but I definitely think they're going to make a big move towards the stretch.
But some of the divisions, you know,
Texas,
they're all the same.
Don't even count Texas out.
You can't because things change so much there in the summer.
Texas knows what they're doing out there.
What about when you go into the East in the National League? It's kind of like the Baltimore thing. You got the Washington Nationals there at 7-1, who everybody knows how they can hit.
These guys aren't going to look back.
How about the Phillies, though, at 5-5?
Yeah, that's really shocking. I really think, though, they're playing the weaker teams right now. And they just, how many games they take from San Diego? In any case, I think once they go to Chicago Cub land, that's where my Reds went. And
back to reality.
We haven't come out of there alive. The women, children, nothing came out of there wearing a big Cincinnati
They got a guy, though, that we're going to talk to our man Coop when he comes in about, because what an impressive performance.
Who you got? That's my guy.
You don't have Vince Velasquez. You don't have Vince Velasquez. We're going to talk to Coop about it, though, and get some. But the New York Mets at 3-5, I don't think a lot of people saw that.
Their pitching's not holding up, and they already look worn out in the first 2 weeks.
Well, is that the playoff syndrome? You think they're tired?
They look tired out there.
All right. You Central Cubs 8-1. I think everybody had that. Oh, Cardinals 5-4. They're done.
The only team that could challenge Pittsburgh, and it'd be a hell of a duel. And I look for these two teams to actually one will get the wild card, either or, and that is Pittsburgh. Chicago and Pittsburgh are really right now invincible looking.
Well, and then you go out to the West, and everybody's darling, the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's just proof that it's hard to buy these things.
I'm telling you, don't count out the Dodgers, man. That Pugh, whatever his name is out there, he's a hell of a player. And well, he's straightened up this year. He's really focused, and he looks firm, man. He looks really cut. He looks ready to roll this year.
Yeah.
With the right mind frame, too. Same could be said about our guy, Cepeda. In New York, this guy last year turned it around. Now he's another high-quality type of player. There was one time when he was going downhill, and all he had was his arm, his bat. He was overswinging, but now he's got both, and he's very attractive out there.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the time of year, elements, things like that. But I got a list of some players, and
Got players. Wait till Coop comes in here. He'll give us the players.
Well, I think.
Oh, you're gonna put him on the spot, are you?
I think
you?
I'm gonna put
what
him on
names
the spot.
You got out there.
Well, I tell you what, obviously I was at the game yesterday, and I got to see this.
Oh, you did a little scouting. You were that Los Angeles Dodger guy behind home plate with the gun.
But I'll tell you what, this Hazel Baker for the Cardinals. I did a little research on this guy, and I'll be interested to hear what Coop has to say about him. Because
is he the next 100 guy?
Well,
100
home run? No. But here's the thing about this guy. If you do your homework on him, he played in two organizations that had overpriced talent in the outfield, so he never got a chance. He hit well. The only times that his numbers aren't like outstanding, if you do your homework on it, they're notorious.
Well, let's hear what he's got to say.
I'm
going to
save it for him. I got a bunch of guys for him, so let's get him in here. Let's welcome him in here for this portion of our segment.
Hey, Brian, get him in here, will you?
It's time for our fantasy
segment. Hey, here he comes.
Man, putting his headphones on.
God damn it, he's sharp. He's like Harper.
Coop, welcome to the show, babe.
How you guys doing?
Well,
I love this guy.
Coop, I'm going to ask you. It's April 15th. What's
April
that mean
Fool's
to you,
Day,
bud?
He was
What's
about
that
to
mean
say.
To you?
Oh, God, it's Jackie Robinson.
See, look at that. See, this guy's a forward thinker.
Well, like I said, Jackie Robinson Day.
What do you think about the players wearing 42? I think it's a great thing. You got any thoughts on it?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. It's a great tribute.
Isn't it great?
It's fantastic. And you know what it is? At the end of the day, you can look at it historically as breaking the color barrier, but the other way to look at it, it's one true day of unity for Major League Baseball.
Sure.
Right? Like, you can come together around whatever you want to come together around, whether it's breaking the color barrier or,
making errors.
Or the leagues coming together, whatever you want to call it. The beautiful thing about it, or making errors, but the beautiful thing about it really is it's one day of unity in Major League Baseball. Baseball's the true American sport, and so it's a day where the whole country can come together, whether it's around race relations or around baseball or whatever you want to call it. I love the gesture that everybody's wearing the same thing on the same day.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I don't think too terribly many other things you could do this with, but to your point, I think it is a great gesture. So, yeah, but see how he got it right away when I went with April 15th?
Come on. What are you bringing me? I'm in the bleacher
section all
the time.
You got Denny's 2 a.m.
Denny's
2 a.m. breakfast.
Well, I mean, the guy who lives and breathes baseball. Leave me alone, will you?
Well, since
today is Jackie Robinson Day, and you went Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity?
Well, according to him, it was April 15th, 1947, when they decided to stay open until 2 a.m.
I used to go to Waffle House, but I felt the gum under the table, so I went to Denny's now.
You see why I couldn't wait to get you in here, right? Have some intellectual conversation.
I don't know how you do it, Chrome.
Well, it's a struggle. But
I tell you what, you guys don't understand me because me and Benji, we got along in that conversation.
You guys might be two peas in a pod. Coop, before you got in here, we were kind of touching on...
offensive to Benji.
Yeah, it is offensive.
He loves me.
Well, that's what he says. Yeah. We'll see. We're only about 10 games in, Coop. We talked a little bit about the standings to this point, and they are what they are. But, there's been a couple things that you look at and you might not have seen coming. But a lot of it is fueled by players and hot starts, slow starts, things like that. So, naturally, it's a tie-in to what you bring to us every week, and you've done a sterling job. And before we touch on some of those players, you care to talk about any of the – I mean, you made some picks last week, and some of them were awfully good. You want to hit on any of them and kind of
before we do, he mentioned a player. Your weasel butt went out and got him really fast after the man mentioned his name as a sleeper last week.
That was such a weak call
on your behalf.
It wasn't like the guy's name.
So what John was referring to is I mentioned Tyler White last week as a sleeper player. And in our fantasy league, which all three of us are owners in the fantasy league, Chrome went out and promptly outbid me for Tyler White.
Which now
leads me to think maybe I shouldn't give away all my secrets on the weekly.
I think he ought to throw in some duds.
Yeah, you go ahead and see if I do that. But he was out there for how long before anybody could have took him? You could have taken him.
Speaking of that,
let's talk about him. Right. So we talked about two sleepers last week, which were Tyler White and Michael Wacha. Not that Waka's necessarily a sleeper, but you know, for that particular week, Tyler White had a 3.48 OBP for the week, hit a home run, 3 RBIs so far. Right?
He sure did.
We still have a couple days to go. Waka has 2 starts. He'll start again this weekend, but in his first start, went 6 innings, no earned runs, got the win. So I think the 2 sleeper picks certainly should have worked for folks.
Yep.
The 2 sit picks, I'm going to stick by completely. I had 2 sit picks, which were Charlie Morton and Taylor Youngman. Charlie Morton, in his start, went 3.2 innings with a 14.7 ERA, got absolutely destroyed. Then later on, 3 days later, I think, got brought in relief because somebody got hurt in the first inning.
Yeah, did you see? I thought that was odd.
Yeah, so he came in for 6.2 innings and gave up no earned runs, which was interesting because you can't plan for that from a fantasy perspective. But even with that unbelievable 6.2 innings in relief appearance, still has a 6 ERA for the week. So I'm going to stick by sitting Charlie Morton.
Even after the comeback,
it's still a 6 earned run average for the week. And Taylor Youngman came in, and he's got another start, unfortunately, for his owners. But in his first start, went 2 innings and gave up 8 earned runs. So.
I got a question for him.
Well, go ahead. Yeah.
And it relates to what he just mentioned.
Well, hit him.
How do you know that day something psychological or – I mean, when he puts up that big ERA and then comes back and pitches a good game, do you kind of – I mean, you don't look at the amnesia here, do you? You keep rolling with the stats.
No, you have to look – I mean, at the end of the day, we talked about it last week a little bit. I think you have to look at skill sets and what people can bring. The results are going to vary, right, because a guy's going to get lucky or they're not going to get lucky. A very talented player – could just get blown up. I mean, you look at Steve Matz this past week. He's a guy that I considered saying, hey, he's a definite start. I didn't at the end of the day, thank God. But he got absolutely shit-rocked on Tuesday or Monday. And so, you know, but he's the guy that's got the high skill level and this incredible skill profile.
Right.
You want to keep him long-term. His ERA is going to suffer all the way through September for this one outing this week. But he still has the skill level. You're going to want to keep him. But a guy like Charlie Morton, I don't care if he goes 6.2 innings with no earned runs, he's going to get rocked over the course of the year. And the same with Taylor Youngman. Then you take the skill level, and you match that up with their matchups that week. And I mean, so neither one of them worked out for those.
With
guys.
A Charlie Morton though, do you look at I'm hoping that he goes 6 2/3, not give up anything, and then put him right to the trade level, see if you could trade him. Make him look attractive, or do you keep him around? Why are you keeping him around then?
I mean, the way that I look at fantasy baseball, I've got a five tier skill profile, right? So you look at your super high skill guys are in tier one, your super low skill guys are in tier five. We have a really deep league that we play in, right? 16 teams with a big bench and minor leagues and all this other stuff, and so the player pool is incredibly deep. And so if I got a tier, I try to not have any tier 1, 2, or 3 guys on my team. But if I do, or excuse me, tier 3, 4, 5 guys on my team, the lower tier guys skill-wise. But if I do, then yeah, what you really want to wait for, you wait for that one glowing performance, and then you throw him out like a shiny object to the league, and you hope that somebody takes the performance instead of the skills, and you let him go. On the flip side, I think you look for guys who are tier 1, 2 skill guys that have a really shitty performance. And then you go to that team and say, hey, look, I saw where Steve Matz got blown up. So maybe this is to all you guys listening for fantasy baseball out there. If someone in your league has Steve Matz, right now his numbers look atrocious. Go buy Steve Matz right now.
What about those people that play fantasy baseball on a daily basis as well? And he's got to start.
Then it's all matchups, right? Then the skill stuff a little bit. The skill profile isn't as necessary. The matchup quantification becomes much more important because you don't really care if Steve Matz is the greatest pitcher. He's going to be the greatest pitcher in the world in a year or two. You're looking at how's he going to pitch against Washington today or whatever it might be, and it's much more important in the daily fantasy leagues.
Well, and, you know, Charlie Morton, I mean, would anybody even give you anything for Charlie Morton right now?
Well, he just downgraded Charlie Morton, so you won't bet on him.
Well, no, my point is that I don't even know if you could trade him right now, right?
No, and his numbers still. So, look, this is the trouble. If you have the kind of start he had early in the week, you go in for 6.5 innings and you give up no earned runs, your ERA is still 6.
What about the guys, Coop, that just go by the name, like a Verlander, that you don't see anything anymore from this guy, but he's still got a sexy name?
Good for you, right? Like if you own him and somebody's willing to pay for the name, take that payment and run away.
Well, speaking of names, let's talk about your start, guys. How'd Strasburg do?
Strasburg got a win, 7 Ks in his win.
He looked strong.
He looked strong. He didn't look great, but he looked strong, and it was a great matchup, right? So, and he'll have another start this coming, you know, this weekend. And so I look for him to have a really strong week. He did very, very well. The other guys I recommended were the Pittsburgh outfield just because they had 7 starts, and it looked like they had some really good matchups. We went 2 for 3 there. Marte had a great week. Polanco had a great week so far. McCutchen has had a really rough week so far.
Yeah.
So you look at those three, and it's – you know, you went 2 for 3 there.
Traditionally start off that slow, though?
Always. You know, McCutchen, you almost want to draft him and sit him for April and wait till May beyond and just let him roll. Because the beautiful thing is, if he sticks to form this year, which, you know, again, he's getting to that age where you're not sure if he's going to stick to form. But if he does, and you hope he does, then his numbers in May, June, July, August.
Well, guys like him, too.
It's like the bell curve.
Guys like him, too, bring up his name and Trout. These guys aren't stealing bases like they used to either.
Right. Well, that's the troubling thing with Mike Trout. You know, the reason that I think Bryce Harper is stealing the mantle of best player in fantasy, you know, best fantasy player in baseball from Mike Trout is because Trout was that 5-tool guy, that all-around guy, stole bases, hit home runs, scored runs, had a great average, had a great OBP, had a bunch of RBI, on and on and on and on. And now he's not running as much, or he hasn't, you know, seemingly isn't running as much, although he did steal a base already this week. And so if they let him loose a little bit and they let him go, you know, back to what he did 2 years ago and 3 years ago, then he's going to be the best player in baseball again, even though Bryce Harper, skills-wise, is the best player in baseball by a mile. Trout can compete stats-wise, but only if he runs. If he doesn't run, Harper eclipses him, you know, by a good margin.
Well, I would say on the whole, then you had a good week. I mean, with your guess. So
we didn't miss much.
Yeah. So let's jump to this week. Let's go with your starts.
Okay, the starts this week.
You want to start with pitcher?
Yeah, we'll start this week with pitchers. I think that you got to start Noah Syndergaard from the Mets this week. You know, he's got
He's looked good.
Stop riding.
Yeah,
he's looked good.
He's got two really good matchups this week. He matched up against Jared Eichhoff from Philadelphia in his first start, and his second start Matt Whistler from Atlanta. So you're playing Philly, who, you know, has actually started off better than I think people thought, but they're gonna regress as they go through. So Syndergaard's got two really good starts. And he's got two great matchups with Philadelphia and Atlanta. So you got to start Syndergaard if you have him.
What do you got for a hitter for us?
For hitter, I think I'm going to go with Corey Seager from the LA Dodgers, shortstop, third baseman from the Dodgers, or really, truthfully, any of the other LA studs if you have them in your fantasy lineup. But they've got a great matchup. They play 3 at Atlanta, then 3 at Colorado.
Oh boy,
great week for them.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one of them, I'd pick Corey Seager.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to let everybody know out there, too, if you listen to these plays that Coop gives you every week, pay attention to some of the things, and I've learned a lot just listening to him. Sometimes it's the matchups, it's the stadiums, right? I mean, as much as anything, really?
Absolutely. No, there's so much that goes into it. There's how your team's rolling, how the other people in your lineup are hitting, where you're playing, who you're either batting or pitching against. A lot of variables.
So to Jono's point, it's not just your name. I mean, there's a lot to it.
No.
Well, and he did say last week that regions become a factor going into the middle of the season, three quarters of the season, for one team that's playing out in the East, goes to California, does good the first night, maybe second night, but you focus in on the third night and hope to God it's not your pitcher on the mound.
That could be. So that guy could be a sit. So who's your sit guys?
My sit guys this week, I really have two main guys. Jason Hamill from the Cubs. I know everybody's on the Cubs bandwagon right now, but they got a rough week this week. Jason Hamill in particular. So the Cubs are coming to St. Louis this week. Jason Hamill gets the unenviable task of facing Jaime Garcia at home in St. Louis. You know, Jaime Garcia is a middling fantasy pitcher until you put him in Busch Stadium,
right,
and he turns into Clayton Kershaw. So I think that two things are inevitable. The Cubs are going to regress a little bit from an offensive standpoint as time goes on. They've started off really hot. And I think that Jason Hamill coming into St. Louis, it's a tough go. Then the second thing he's got to go, they go from St. Louis to Cincinnati, and he's pitching against Raisel Iglesias, who I believe is one of the best young pitchers in the major leagues in Cincinnati. So if I was going to sit any two-start pitcher this week, and this is an unusual one, right? How many people would say sit a two-start pitcher on an 8-1 team? I think that goes against what you would look at. But when you look at these two matchups, I would sit Jason Hamill in the Chicago Cubs this week.
Well, again, you're taking into account where he's going, the situation, the stadiums, things like that. So it is more than just the record and how they've done so far. You said you had three. Who else you got?
Well, my other – I'll get a batter, and then I've got a secondary pitcher that I think I'd sit too. The batter that I would sit is a pretty easy one. It's Jed Giorko from the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, he's pretty much lost his starting job, and I think a lot of people expected him to come in, and with the injury to Peralta, to come in, assume that starting shortstop spot, and run it through. But Aledmys Diaz from the Cardinals has really taken that spot, proven to be a very, very competent player, both from obviously the Cardinals standpoint and then you know, as a follow-on from a fantasy standpoint. So I think you got to sit Jed Giorko pretty much going forward.
I think a lot of people probably thought Giorko would be a nice play when Peralta went down.
Absolutely.
He's got some power playing for the Cardinals. You know,
it's a huge
multiple
prospect.
Positions.
It's
multiple
a huge
positions.
Prospect a couple years ago. You know, he's a guy, this goes back to where – you know, somebody starts out with this underlying skill set. And I think 3 years ago, if you'd have said, hey, who's got one of the best skill sets from a prospect standpoint at the shortstop position, one of the top three or four guys you'd have pointed to would have been Jed Giorko when he was with San Diego. And then it's just faded away. And so it proves that skills erode or that skills can fool you. And
sure,
sometimes the mind overrides the skills or the work ethic overrides the skills, and you just don't quite get there. I think Giorko's a great example of that.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. You've seen Rosenthal of the Cardinals go. I mean, they brought him in the game, gets quick two outs, and the next thing you know, the gasket falls out. How long as a manager do you put up with that? I mean, I know I should be asking a manager, but you, looking at stats and all that, looking at pitchers.
Somebody get Mike on the phone.
Yeah,
well, let's
you
ask
know
him
Mike
how long
Moody.
He won't answer that.
I mean, look, that's a question that always comes back to, you know, if not him, who?
Yeah,
so
very good.
There's all these other options that are out there. I don't know. Some heart medication company should really sponsor Rosenthal because, man, it doesn't matter. He's never made it easy. And that's the tough thing with him,
yeah,
is that he's always been incredibly effective without ever making it easy.
Yeah.
And so do you and he's got this incredible underlying skill set that makes you want to keep going back to him. And so for a guy like him, this shows how hard it is to be a major league manager, because Mike Matheny stuck with this guy for 2 years and he's killed it for 2 years. So you go out and you really fuck it up one night. Does that mean that you get yanked even though you've fucked it up for 2 years and still been effective?
Hey, quit dropping the F-bomb here. We're in a green section.
Well, hang on a second. Well, how about this? I mean, you don't have to look any further than Craig Kimbrell.
Exactly.
Look how dominant his numbers have been during the season.
I'll tell you what, he's scary.
Right,
but
in the playoffs, has he done anything?
No, that's exactly.
Well, he got rocked yesterday, boy.
Well, it happens.
No, and it happens to all these guys. I mean, you look, again, a great example of that, and as a guy that's on my fantasy team, is Ken Giles, right? He was money, money, money from a skills standpoint and from a performance standpoint when he was with Philadelphia. He leaves Philadelphia, signs this big deal with Houston. He's a presumptive closer, comes in, gets blown up in spring training, and can't keep the closer job. And now in two of his three outings as a, you know, as a sort of a holds guy, a relief guy, a middle relief guy for Houston, has gotten destroyed. And so you got this guy who's got these incredible underlying skills who can't quite throw a strike. He can't. I mean, he's getting lit up all over the place.
Yeah.
What do you do with a guy like that? It's really, really hard.
Well, what do they say? If it was easy, everybody do it, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so you said you had a third guy.
Yeah.
Kind
so
of
my
a,
third,
kind
my third,
reliever guy.
My third sit guy would be a Philadelphia pitcher, Jared Eichhoff. I think a couple reasons.
That's my pitcher.
Of course.
I love it.
That's my pitcher. That's
I love
BS.
That.
Don't buy into this, folks.
I love it.
The kid's really
it.
Sharp.
I love it when you hit home.
Yeah,
I love
no.
it. I love
Jared, Eichhoff. Jared Eichhoff, I mean, he's on your team for a reason.
He's good. And, he's good, Weasel.
He faces Noah Syndergaard, as we talked about earlier, in his first game. And then he's facing a Milwaukee team that I actually think is more dangerous than people believe they are in his second game. And I think Philadelphia is overperforming at 5-5, which is really frightening. And so I think he's a guy that I would certainly sit.
Well, there you
that
go,
doesn't
Jane. What are you going to do about
express
that?
Express
huh?
all the views on the show.
we do not stand
them.
Behind all
not
these.
That one.
Well, let's get your sleepers. Because these are the ones where the money's made, right?
Yeah, I got one sleeper, and it's fairly easy, here, actually.
Let's get the pen
you
out.
You only got one sleeper?
I have one sleeper this week. And
not two? No pitcher and hitter?
No.
Sorry, he's not going to breastfeed your team this week.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't have a hitter this week.
Come on, fire away, Coop.
My pitch this week, he's already gone in our league. Like I said, we've got a fairly
yeah,
deep
see?
League.
He's already gone.
And being from St. Louis, this is really easy. And it's Jeremy Hazelbaker. He's a guy that if you look at his minor league stats, he's always had the underlying skills. He's always been able to bring it up. So he's come up this year, finally gotten an opportunity in the bigs. He's hitting .481, which he obviously cannot sustain. And at some point, there's going to be a regression. What you hope from a fantasy standpoint is that regression comes bit by bit, as opposed to like 2 weeks of not hitting at all. But .481 average, 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 7 RBIs. This guy just keeps producing, and he keeps producing, in my opinion. And again, this is a Cardinal team that's 5-4. They don't have a great record so far. I think they're going to be right in the mix in the Central, and I think he's hitting in a lineup that has underperformed so far and will continue to do well. I think this guy is not only going to be I don't want to say flash the penny. He's not going to be a near-term hit, even though he'll do well in the long term. This is a guy with the underlying skills to have a really good major league career, even though he's coming into the bigs at 28 years old or whatever he is.
Well, I had him on our list today to discuss because I've got some questions I want you to touch on. But I want to talk about this guy for
Wait,
just a second.
How long is the show here? The game's going to end
easy,
here.
Easy, pal. So this Hazelbaker, you brought it up. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he just was that guy that played for organizations that had spent a bunch of money, right? So I was telling the Ocho man here, thanks to
Jono,
a friend of ours.
Jono.
I got to go to the game and sit in the green seats. And let me tell you, what I was most impressed by this guy was his ability. I watched him in one at-bat slap a ball down the left field line and then not an hour later pull one out to right field. So I think his skill set's awesome. I think, in my opinion, the thing that helps him is the Cardinals have always needed a number two hitter, mm-hmm. a guy to step up. He screams, hit me second.
No, he does.
Know.
He does, Chrome. You're exactly right. And not only – here's the amazing thing about him. If you look at his underlying skill numbers, they match up almost exactly with his stats. That so rarely happens, right, because guys either get injured, they get this. He's been remarkably immune to injury over the course of his career. He's just been there. He's been a guy that is, you know, if you talk to anybody that's played with him or worked with him at all, he's like he's a lunch pail guy. Right. I show up every day. I got my lunch pail. I get to work. I do my thing. And to your point, that doesn't necessarily fit in the LA Dodgers system, right? So when the Dodgers cut him this past year, you know, I'm sure they're thinking, well, you know, this guy probably could have made it, but we're not going to pay him, and we can't get somebody to take him for trade, and we can't get anything for him. They cut him. The Cardinals, in true Cardinal fashion, they see this opportunity, they take the guy, they pull him in, they give him a contract, and he comes in and wins a job, and he is a legit major league player.
And he's a very good defensive outfielder, too, can play
Absolutely.
All three spots. So here's where you need to get your pen out, Gene. I got something for you here.
Jono. What's Ocho Man, Gene?
Hey,
how many more names you got up
I got
your
a couple. I got a couple more for you, but here's where you get your pen out, right?
Yeah, I got my pen
Tell
out.
Us about Vince Velasquez. How many strikeouts yesterday?
16 strikeouts yesterday. You know, Vincent Velasquez is a young guy. He has all the tools to do this. I mean, he's a guy that he's got a big fastball. He's got a great changeup. He has got a strikeout curveball. He's got all the underlying skills to do this. His entire arsenal points to a really bright future. I did not have any idea that it would come this early. He's a guy that I was the underbidder on in our draft, even though I didn't get him. I was the second highest bid. I really like this guy's skill set. I think that over the course of a year, and it's easy to say this now because he's got a zero ERA, but before the year started, before these two starts, I would have said we're looking at a guy with a sub 3.5 ERA. He's legit on a shitty team, and he's going to be a guy that, you know, just watch. He's going to get beat up here and there over the course
he's
of the year.
He's got to on a crappy team like
but,
that.
But he doesn't have to get beat up on a crappy team because that's not. But he is legit.
Well, he was part of the Ken Giles trade.
Absolutely.
The guy you just mentioned.
That's
and
exactly right.
They brought it up last night. Their issue was they were concerned with his mechanics. They think he's an injury waiting to happen. So I think that plays a part in how these guys become available. Nick,
and by the way, the same they've been saying the same thing for years about Chris Sale.
Sure.
About Tim Lincecum,
sure.
About you name Sonny, right. Sonny Gray. Sonny, yep. Like there's all these guys that are the inverted right. W pitcher, and you know they keep doing it. I don't know. I mean, these guys, none of them are getting hurt right now.
Middle infielders are hard to find. What about Nick Ahmed in Arizona? He seems to be doing well.
Well, Nick Ahmed, it depends on what you're looking for in a fantasy player. Nick Ahmed is a guy with an elite glove, right? He's one of the best fielders in Major League Baseball. You know, his offense is horrific.
He won't be.
And it's not. It's not.
It won't sustain what he's doing right now.
Sustain. He doesn't have the underlying offensive skills. But the difference is, if he can find a little bit, get a little bit of confidence. We all know this. Baseball is about, you know, it's 90% mental. If you know whatever the famous Yogi Berra quote was, right? 50% mental.
Yeah, 80%.
Yeah, whatever it was. But he's a great example of a guy that's going to get on the field every single day because of his glove. If he believes he can hit, who says he can't hit?
So, John, here's three names for you, bud. Now, this is baseball.
I got my team.
I know, but this is baseball. Now, this is a question that would relate both to baseball and fantasy. Are these three guys healthy finally? I'm going to start with Angel Pagan. Is he a factor again? Is he healthy?
Well, you know what? I got to watch him. I haven't seen him yet.
I mean,
I can tell a lot when I just watch. I mean, Coop looks at stats and stuff like that. I like to get the feel. I like to watch him perform.
Well, his numbers are back. And I thought it was odd when I watched. You know, they brought Denard Span in, right? So this guy goes to the bottom of the order, and all of a sudden his numbers look great. So now you start thinking, is he healthy? Because the numbers are there. And the guy was such a good player and such a
catalyst.
Well,
that's when I brought up to Coop earlier about the whole amnesia thing. Do you forget about that and move on? And maybe he had problems, psychological or, you know, mental or physical.
But it's hard,
he's back.
Hard on a fantasy owner, though. You sit there and look at him. It's got to be hard on a real team, right? They know they got this player, right?
Well, I mean, if you're a fantasy team out there, you know, you're investing. You're investing in a cheaper player that you think everyone's doesn't think is sexy anymore, and you could take a chance.
Okay, now flip to the Giants. You own the Giants. Forget fantasy. Do you stick with this guy?
Yeah. I mean, Giants are... No, what do you mean shaking your head no for? Giants.
The answer is no. You don't stick with Angel Pagan. If you look at Angel Pagan's numbers underlying, everything that you get from Angel Pagan is predicated on his speed. Mm-hmm. His speed's gone. It's sapped. It's done. You look at the last 3 years, injured or not injured, even when healthy, his speed was sapped. So he's going to do fine from a batting average standpoint, but he's not going to produce the extra base hits any longer. He's not going to produce any of the stolen base numbers. And he's not even going to produce the extra base hits or the extra bases on hits from the folks behind him. So his run numbers are going to go down. I think Angel Pagan's short-term numbers are a flash in the pan.
Ryan Howard?
No.
Same thing?
No, it's a different thing. Ryan Howard's problem is that he's futile against left-handed pitching. So, you know, he'll be fine against right-handed pitchers, but his numbers are a flash in the pan because the minute that they understand in a crucial situation they can start bringing a left-handed pitcher in against him, he's done.
Last guy, Chase Utley.
Chase Utley, if he's healthy, is going to be legit. Again, if you consider legit getting to what your projections are, right? Chase Utley's projections are about a 250 average and 13 home runs. If that's what you're looking for out of you know the position that he's going to fill for you, then he's healthy, and I believe he is. I think Chase Utley will hit those projection numbers and maybe even a little bit above this year. It's just a matter, you know, it's a matter of what you're looking for from him.
Okay, so get off the fantasy thing and let's go to the Dodgers. Do the Dodgers need Chase Utley? Because I think they do. I think he's a good player for them with that mix they got there. What do you think, John?
Nah, I really, I watch them. They don't impress me like Coop's got them right now. I just don't see them as like, good as that.
I understand.
Who are you talking
the
about?
Dodgers.
I never said
you
they
said
were
the
great.
Dodgers were really good.
No, I didn't. I said this week.
We got to play this backwards. And,
yeah, no, what I said.
Well,
this,
he said this week. It was this, part of his thing.
This week, I would start the other Dodger studs this week. But, they play at Atlanta and at Colorado.
Right,
so
right.
Okay,
I got you.
But where I was going was when you got guys like Puig and Jock Peterson and you got all this stuff going, you got a young guy. Is Chase Utley the kind of guy that is more important to them as an organization than it is in fantasy? You see
I don't know anymore. He can't run anyone over.
Oh, well.
So.
What are they going to do?
Second base.
What are they going to do with that rule too?
Well, let's talk about that some other time here, huh? You're covering every ground. What are you making a 4-hour show here?
Well, how long has it been?
It's over an hour.
It is not.
I swear to God.
Let's hit it.
I ran out of battery.
Yeah,
I don't even have battery.
Well,
you killed it.
See, I could talk for hours.
You probably could.
I could, but well, no, it's good stuff as always, and we appreciate you, Coop, and we will make sure to track this as we did last week because I really enjoyed following up and seeing how you did and. And I do appreciate you speaking up for my guy, Tyler White. I'm hoping he has a great season.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up my guy, dude.
That's good. Well, yeah.
He didn't bring your guy up.
Yeah, he did. He talked about my
Not in a great light,
Philadelphia pitcher in a downtrend.
It sounds to me like, according to him, your pitcher's going to be in the bleachers with us soon.
Nah, he's doing good. Forget about it.
He'll be sitting with us having a Philly cheesesteak and a beer.
That's our show. We'll talk to you guys out there later.
Yeah, make sure you guys check us out at Bums Podcast and check us out bleacherbumspodcast.com. We'd be happy to hear your comments. info@bleacherbumspodcast.com. Send us in any of your comments, quotes, concerns. We'd be happy to talk about it. Special thanks go out to the Lineup Media Group. Make sure you check out all different shows. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, they got something different.
It's like satellite radio.
Whatever your flavor, for sure. Make sure to check them out. Awesome stuff. But we appreciate it, and I guess we'll see you on the other side of the week.
See ya.